now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080 coming up later on. This hour, Jolie from the front desk with another edition of How Jolie Thinks, the big thing. We also got to the top five driving songs of 2002, courtesy of the folks at Yahoo.com. That's coming up later on as well. Richard Numb from the WB. Tom Likas this afternoon with Likas 101, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Hey, did you get a thing from the union? I got something.
No, a calendar?
No, it's not a calendar. Oh, let me look.
Uh-oh, a threatening letter. They're not going to send you out to any more jobs.
It's written on pink paper. It looks like it's probably some sort of a threat.
Yeah, pink is threatening.
Well, it's okay.
Open it up, read it to us.
No, they won't.
I'm about two for one.
They won't miss that. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We don't have the whole thing, but I've got a chunk of that Lord of the Rings rap song. We'll try to get to that.
I've got all this stuff.
You got all this stuff coming up, though. This is so little to do, so much time. No, stop. Reverse that. I had something that seemed drastically important just a few moments ago that I was going to read, but now it's escaped me. Am I in a bad mood today? Do I sound grumpy, by the way?
Not at all.
So all these people email me saying I sound particularly prickly today, which I didn't think was the case. I thought I sounded perfectly pleasant and peachy, as is my nature. Let's not all speak at once today.
No, you sound fine.
Oh, no, that rings hollow. All right, here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 104, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Fisherman's Marine and Outdoor Supply. Who needs high school sports anyway? Well, we can have some real sports out of the Portland Expo Sound to you. Portland officials interested in bringing a new Major League Baseball team to the Rose City have been invited to make a bid for the relocation of the Montreal Expos. So if we're out of money, doesn't matter. So build them a new stadium.
Okay. Does that mean when they get here, do they have to become criminals when they get here if they're not already?
I don't think baseball players are criminals. It's mostly basketball.
Wait, let me understand this. So is it basketball players are criminals and baseball players are simply greedy? Is that what it is? I think I'm understanding this now. So basketball players beat people.
Right.
Baseball players simply bellyache and whine about not getting enough money.
Right.
All right, just making sure.
So we're going to have to build a new stadium for them.
I'm going to get my athletes straight. So the sort of thing that you need to, sort of thing you need sports in high schools to teach you, though.
Anyway, they could be here as early as 2004 if we come up with a buck, so we got plenty of them.
Right.
A Goodwill employee in Corvallis made a startling discovery in a box of donated items. Christine Stryker was sorting donations when she saw what appeared to be an urn full of ashes. The silver urn had the first name and a date written underneath it, and it came with a picture of a baby. She's assuming it was dropped off by accident.
That's disturbing.
A spokesman for Goodwill's Oregon and Southwest Washington regional headquarters say two or three urns each year are dropped off at some of the Earth's 30 Goodwill stores. The name of the Corvallis funeral home is on the urn. Goodwill employees gave the urn to the home.
Urn.
Now they're trying to track down the family.
Excellent.
Okay, here are cookies for Santa, hot chocolate by the fire, and time spent with the family, or what some people do for the holidays. We've been speaking with stars and asking them about some of their favorite things. For instance, Morris Chestnut, whoever you are. Tell us how you felt that Christmas was unfair to you as a child.
I was born on New Year's, so I never really got the good gifts.
I have no idea who Morris Chestnut is.
I got shortchanged in gifts.
Is he a country singer?
Because my birthday
Morris,
was so
no, cool. No, that's Mark Chestnut.
No, maybe this is his brother.
Is that guy from The Time?
If I won.
No, that's Morris Day.
Gifts,
that's
give me three on Christmas and hold the last.
Morris Chestnut is a young kind of August. One of the male stud black actors.
Cool. He's like a Tyrese or Omar Epps.
Very, very, very similar in the same vein.
Gotcha. John Leguizamo, we know who he is. He talks about how his family celebrates the holidays.
We have little Jewricans, so we do sort of a Chanukah Christmas, Feliz Navidad thing, you know, so that's what we do. We do the Jewish thing. We have smoked salmon. We have the Hanukkah candle. We try to do the whole dreidel thing. I really don't know that well. And then we do the whole Christmas Latin thing, which is Christmas Eve and all the family getting together, all of them. It's like, you know, almost 100 people, whatever, and crowded together. And then, you know, we're Latin, so we just talk and eat real fast, then we pick up the furniture, move it to the side, roll up the carpet, and start dancing.
See, why is my family so dull and uninteresting? There's no dancing that happens to any of my family. I mean, we're all white, so you don't really want to see us dancing anyway. But nothing interesting ever happened. You know what happens to my family? People drink a lot of alcohol and then begin screaming at each other about nuclear power. That's what happens at my get-togethers. Now, the only good thing about getting together with my family is the food. And that's not even about my family so much as it is just my mom. Because my mom is totally one of those women who just starts cooking like 5 weeks in advance. You start cranking. Talking to my mom, Christmas is still like 10 days away. And I was talking to my mom the other night, and she's like, no, I've already made 14 pies. How many do you want? And I'm just keep on putting them out. Here's something that nobody eats, though. Nobody eats mincemeat. No one actually eats mincemeat pie. No one ever.
My dad used to eat that with his pickled pig's feet.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. To eat mincemeat pie, you've either got to be a foreigner or you've got to be over the age of 65. It's like my mom will eat pig's knuckles and hominy. You know why? Trashy, southern, 65. You know, that's why.
We got one more here. Adam Sandler talks about what he likes to do during the holidays.
The family. Hang out with the family. Okay. Maybe get some, I don't know, either Florida action or maybe go skiing or something like that. Just be around the family.
Plenty of skiing going on in Florida.
A lot of fatness in my family.
Yeah, that's great.
I can barely summon up the energy to talk. All right. I had the most peculiar dream last night. We're going to get through Jim Roop here in just a moment. But I got to tell you, I had the strangest dream last night. And this is absolutely 100% true. I was telling Mike Chase down the hall about this morning, and former weaponmaster Ian Gordon. Here's the dream, and it was like a nightmare, but it was one of those nightmares that you don't want to tell people about because you realize it doesn't sound scary to them, it just sounds retarded. Do you have a dream that, like, to you, the dream is terrifying, but then you try to share the nightmare with somebody else, and it just, no, I was being chased by a giant pickle wielding a pitchfork, you know, and it just sounds dumb. I had this dream last night. You've heard the Tim Riley Factor's Christmas song, the Christmas Time in Portland song. I had this dream last night that I was in the back production studio here with this guy, Todd Dennis, who does commercials here. And he was demonstrating to me how, for the Christmas Time in Portland song, I had inadvertently stolen the melody from the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler. I swear to God, this dream is real. I was telling Mike and Ian about it this morning. And he's like, no, listen, they're exactly the same song. And what I'd done is I'd inadvertently stolen Adam Sandler's melody for my own song, and thus I was revealed to be a talentless hack, which we all kind of know is the case anyway. And then I woke up this morning, Adam Sandler, you know, and just complete. But I immediately knew that I couldn't tell anybody about it because it doesn't sound scary to anybody else. It just sounds retarded.
No, you know you're in trouble once you start having radio dreams.
Oh, I've been having those for...
Yeah.
I'm constantly having this dream that I have vinyl records and I can't get the needle to find the track.
Oh, I always dream that I just miss my shift and I'm listening to the show and it's just dead air.
Anyway, Adam Sandler does. He's busy skiing in Florida.
Okay.
The occasional showers this afternoon. Highs to mid-40s tonight. Evening sprinkles, then brief light rain, then tomorrow chance of real rain. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers over the $200 laptop.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, our man in Los Angeles, Jim Roop. What's up with you, man?
Hey, happy holidays.
Yes, thank you. It was the most terrifying dream, though, seriously. And it was, and I just wake up and a cold sweat. And how dumb is that I'm having dreams about inadvertently stealing from Adam Sandler? It just doesn't make any sense. I'm going mental. There's something wrong with me.
You know, I don't know. There's something there, though. You know, they say dreams all mean something.
Yeah, but I don't know what the hell that one means. I don't. It's like here's another dream I have sometimes. I'll have these dreams where I'm at work, but it's never here. It's always at some old radio station, like some old rock station or as a DJ or something. And all these dreams that I'm playing like a Led Zeppelin record, and I've got my headphones, and the headphones won't fit into the jack. I don't know what the hell that one even means. Is that some phallic... Seriously, is that some sexual Freudian thing where the headphones won't fit into the jack?
That's a sexual dysfunction Freudian thing.
I don't even know what the hell my problem is. I just... Years of therapy, and I've just got nothing to show for it. This is nothing. Anyway, I know that, and here's a truism. People's dreams are only interesting to them. That's why I'm not going to dwell on it. It's like people's stories about their childhood. Here's a little hint. No one, your childhood is only interesting to you, just like your dreams. It's just, you know, no, and then we'd all get around and we'd play Parcheesi. No one cares. No one cares. All right. Anyway, hey, speaking of things that no one really cares about, the Golden Globes, correct me if I'm wrong, do the Golden Globes only matter because the Oscars aren't here yet and so it's just something to fill time?
Yeah, but you know what? They matter even a little bit more this year because, you know, the Oscars have moved. They moved to, I think, February.
Yeah.
And so that means whatever's announced today as far as nominations go and whoever wins in January is going to determine how the studios market their films. That's the only reason for these other shows is it gives Hollywood or the studios an indication on where things are going and how they're going to market their films and to what audiences to get the votes that they need. So it means nothing except to the studios.
And this is, yet we all, you know what this is? This is the Emperor's New Clothes, where we all just agree to pretend that we care about these award shows, when in reality, you and I couldn't give a rodent's rump.
Yeah, and I don't pretend to care.
you're just more zen with it. But here's the other thing about the Golden Globes. Is there some, I don't know, what does Harvey Weinstein have pictures of somebody on all the panels, like with a goat or something? Because it's like, it's just Miramax every single time all of these nominations come out.
Yeah. Well, the only upside for me was that Simpsons got nominated for Best Comedy Series.
Excellent. I haven't even gotten it. I got a little list in front of me here. Let's see. TV comedy nominees included The Simpsons, Will and Grace. Will and Grace, my friend. What kind of a world are we living in?
I don't even let my kids watch that show.
No, you know, my kids trying to watch that show, seriously, I would lock my kids in a closet and weld the door shut before I would let them watch any of this stuff. Sex in the City. Never before has such a worthless television program been lavished with so much undeserved praise.
I gotta agree with you there.
No one really watches Sex in the City. You know who watches Sex in the City, Jim?
No, who?
I'm glad you asked me, Jim. Here's who watches Sex in the City. It's a bunch of women with big, expanding asses in the suburbs who are all 36 years of age, pining away for when they were 19 and somewhat interesting. And they watch it with their other fat suburban female friends while drinking and wishing they had different husbands and plotting to sleep with Felipe, who is the swarthy Latin guy who mows the lawn. That's who watches Sex in the City. No one else.
I think you're right.
All right. Let's see what else. Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's a great show, though.
Yeah, I love that show.
Larry David and Friends, which is... You know what Friends is like? Have you noticed how suddenly Bon Jovi used to just be this hack, like kind of pussy rock band that nobody really liked, but suddenly John Bon Jovi's like the new Bruce Springsteen. Suddenly he's on VH1 all the time, and he's this great American legendary rock star. That's what Friends is. It's just sort of mediocre TV show that hung around for a long time, and now suddenly it's become legendary.
Yeah, but I still don't get it. I mean, I honestly have never been, I've never warmed ever to that show.
No.
It's always been ridiculous to me, and I don't know why these guys haven't attacked these women in this room. I don't get that at all.
Well, I think that says more about you, maybe, and the state of your mental.
It could very well be, but I just never understood that whole friendship thing between those groups of people.
I'm Jim Roop. I don't understand Friends. I don't know. What is this concept you humans have called friendship?
I don't get that at all.
Your Earth lingo confuses and infuriates me.
That's why I'm a lowly correspondent, you know, the only L.A. correspondent in an entire bureau.
Completely. Does CNN even have anybody else in California, or is it just you?
I am the West Coast guy. Yeah, I've been.
I just picture
I'm the lonely bull.
Just picture you in a Ford Festiva driving up and down the coast, having to cover every story. No, they're redesigning the banana slug logo in Santa Cruz.
Oh, can we get up there right away?
Jesus, get in the car and go up. Oh, Jesus. Friends is the proof. You know what it is? It's like if you take a $5 watch, it's like worth nothing. You bury it in the desert for 1,000 years, and it's worth $1 million. That's what Friends is, I think. Man, Renee Zellweger, though, can I just tell you this? I used to really intensely dislike Renee Zellweger, but she has just, ever since Bridget Jones' Diary, I really noticed how talented she is, and just gorgeous, too.
Yeah, she's very pretty. I always thought she was pretty, though.
And she is nominated for what, for Chicago?
Yeah.
And this is, they got eight, that kind of led the
nomination. Yeah, they did. Yeah, she and Catherine Zeta-Jones for that. You know what was funny, though, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, Goldie Hawn was nominated for the Banger Sisters, yet Susan Sarandon was left out of that nomination.
And a movie that nobody saw. I mean, the Banger Sisters came and went, just like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Goldie Hawn, but anyway. And have you seen, here's the other problem here, is because I'm so opposed to paying $9 for a movie ticket these days that I've seen none of these movies. There's not a single one of these movies have I seen, even the ones that I kind of want to, like Adaptation.
Yeah, I didn't see any of these movies either.
So let me understand this. So you're the CNN correspondent covering the event. You haven't seen any of the movies, and you don't like any of the television shows. And I'm the journalist ostensibly interviewing you, and I haven't seen any of them either.
That's what makes what we do legitimate. I mean, I don't have any preference to anything.
So we're unbiased.
Yeah. I mean, I just cover who wins and who loses. You know, and I don't care which one it is. They won? That's great. Oh, they lost? Oh, that's too bad.
There's a certain purity to it, I guess.
I have no loyalty or allegiance to any of these people, shows, or anything else as far as the world of entertainment goes. So I'm the perfect entertainment reporter because I don't care.
The sweet world of apathy. All right. Well, I guess we flogged this. Oh, the horse was dead when it got here. It's not like we're beating the dead horse. The horse is decomposed and has already come back as some other creature, and we're just sitting here stamping on the dirt. So.
That's okay, man. Someone's got to, you
All
know.
Right. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roof. Thank you, man.
You bet.
All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-TEN-80. This is the dumbest program. This is the dumbest. There is no dumber program than this one. And I don't mean today specifically. I mean, like, this show in general. This is nothing.
I'm so glad I work here.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, now you see why Christina left. Just every day, just, my existence is devoid of meaning. Why do I work here? All right. Coming up later, we have Big Gay Sarah checking in from the Bastion of Culture.
Did you put her semen in?
That is kind of like, no, I didn't. I forgot. I'll try to get it done here. We got the top five driving songs of 2002 coming up from Yahoo.com. Tom Likas later on this afternoon with Likas 101, the world famous Phil Hendry show. Don't go anywhere. It's Rivers Cuomo and the Weezer guys. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What the hell are we even pretending to talk about? I haven't seen. I don't plan
I'm
on seeing any of these
movies. I'm a little lost today, too.
No, it's not even
the
about
Sopranos
that.
The Sopranos got the most TV nominations, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't seen any of these movies. I don't plan on seeing any of these movies. Like, I'm going to go see Chicago, please. It's a musical, right?
Don't know.
I don't know.
So, no, let me understand this. So not only does Jim not know, not only does the host not know, so actually no one here knows anything about the most nominated movie of the year.
Yeah, I think, though, actually, Chicago, I don't think it's out yet. Which is humorous to me.
Yeah, but it's been hasn't it been a play for like 30 years or something?
That was a musical group in the 70s.
Here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Northbound on 205 at Johnson Creek. It's...
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. We got the top five driving songs of 2002, according to the good folks at Yahoo Auto. Coming up here in a few. Later on, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about chicks, we want to thank Amanda Perry and her dad. Amanda, by the way, you may remember from the second listener party, the girl who came as Princess Leia. She was the girl who went on the machine gunning excursion with her dad and then myself and Fairly Honest Donna, Fairly Honest Donna's machine gun parlor. They sent me, it's the coolest thing, I got this package yesterday. I wish I had it with me in front of me. I forget the author's name, but it's a comprehensive dictionary of world slang. Sorry, it's like 1,000 pages long. It's huge. It's like the size of the L.A. phone book. But it's a comprehensive slang dictionary. I meant to bring it in so I could start whipping out some obscure colloquialisms. I'll have to bring it in during the next break. All I remember is that landing strip is apparently slang for breasts. I thought landing strip was slang for a certain sort of personal grooming. That sometimes women...
I think you're right. I think that book may be wrong.
Why would breast be a landing strip?
Well, it's probably best that we don't... That's... Maybe landing deck instead. I don't know. I have nothing. I'll bring it in during the next break. We'll figure out Please don't call me and offer to explain why breasts are a landing dick. We're just going to come up with our own little explanation. Let's see. We got this. Rick Mann, it says. Rick Mann. For years now, I've avoided the AM radio scene thanks to the radio antichrist, Lars Larson. I only had to hear Lars once, and though he was on another station, the evil one effectively tainted our local airwaves. Thanks to you, oh great one, A new voice has emerged, though somewhat nasally and irritating.
Oh, great one.
But then he does the right. He leads with the right, but then he does the jab. See, oh, great one, blah, 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 blah. Nasally and irritating. See, that's where they're hitting you with the kiss. Sure. However it is, according to...
backhanded compliment.
That's exactly what that is, yeah. I pledge to you, great and powerful frequency freak, my listening allegiance. You personify all that is wrong, yet strangely intellectual in a sadly lacking environment. While I may not be in your prime demographic, I have a job. Your weirdness interests me, hot babes notwithstanding. Keep up the good work, freak. There, I guess I feel okay about that. It's so hard to tell, you know, what's a compliment, what's not anymore.
I think all in all, that was a positive email.
I don't know. I have nothing.
You find it freak?
No, I'm the freak, I think.
Okay.
1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080 in a mirror. What, do we have it?
It's at about 80% on the conversion process.
We're going to go to Big Gay Sarah here, who's calling from Kennewick here in just a moment, but...
She's actually calling from Pasco.
It's actually from Pasco, which is one of the three cities. But I neglected to put in her theme. I've been saying for like days now, every time she comes on, I'm like, no, I got to get her theme song in there. And I haven't done it yet. I just continue to delay and slack. How much longer do I have to fill?
Well, it's now at 90%.
So if I just... There once was a man from Nantucket. Who's... How long have
yeah,
I
that,
now?
Not long enough that you can finish that limerick.
Okay. So a nun... And two Jews walk into a bar. Where am I at?
Did it hurt?
No. Am I done? Do we have the theme? Seriously, where? You got it?
It's at 99%.
Oh,
it's finishing.
God. Now, the theme's probably not even going to be ready. It's probably going to start in the wrong place or something. Now that we got to load it.
Well, you probably didn't hook it, did you?
No, I didn't. I had no time. All right.
And you're useless.
Look, I'm doing the best I can, man. Or something approaching that most days. There we go. Alright, see, wasn't that worth the wait? I mean, get it? He's gay! Yeah. Come on! Okay, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Big Gay Sarah calling for the Tri-Cities. What's up with you?
Oh, my God, Rick.
Come on, is that not the perfect theme for you?
Oh, it is, and I love it. And all it's right. Been running through my head ever since you mentioned it.
Excellent. Yeah, I was telling her on the toy drive that I was going to put this in as your theme, and I finally got it done pretty much without incident. So why are... Just for those who came in late, so you're in the Tri-Cities not to visit anybody you know, but to visit the family of your ex.
That would be correct.
What is that about? You got to cut that baggage, sister. You just got to cut them loose. Like
this
you,
is the last one.
Yeah, you can't start hanging at you. Once the divorce or the breakup happens, you got to just ditch all the family members because they'll just hang on to your leg and drag you down.
Well, it's the sister's wedding.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if I could be any more uncomfortable, I don't know how.
Yeah, there's just nothing more awkward than that. The only thing more awkward is when your parents are still friends with your ex.
Yeah, that happens too.
See, and that's just awful.
Well, and then we have a 13-year-old, so it's like everybody's grandma. So not only do I have to spend time with her family, but then I have to spend time with her so that
my parents can
still see the kid.
Hold on, this is a male ex.
No, this is my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend.
But you had a kid?
Well, she was married, had a kid. He's my, step-kid.
Oh, all right. So it's sort of your kid kind of in quotes. All right. I was all confused there for a moment.
That's okay.
But she
was 15 when I was born, so.
Okay, well, I thought you might have been like a late bloomer or whatever. So, I have nothing. So you're incarcerated then until... Can I just tell you, though, that I got this email from Sarah that it was something... I'm paraphrasing here, but it was essentially... Come hang out with me while you're in Kennewick. We'll go have dinner with myself and some of my transsexual friends.
One transsexual and the big group of lesbians.
I'm sorry. And so, which Laura immediately latched on to. She's like, yes, make reservations now. But, of course, I'm not going to see you because we're not going to be there until Christmas Eve.
Realize as we were driving in last night that we're missing out on a great marketing opportunity for executives, like... We could market the Tri-Cities as, are you tired of culture and class and decent place to eat?
Completely.
Places to
are
eat?
You?
You know, come here, relax. There's nothing and have no pesky scenery or anything.
Kennewick, for those of you who have been to the Tri-Cities, Kennewick is sort of this intellectual clean room where there's just nothing.
But a 24-hour Walmart.
Well, you can't really, who can turn up their nose at that? It's just horrific. So it's just a bad scene. And there can't be any gay community there to speak of.
There's like five. Well, actually, there's a big, large gay community, but none that you would actually want to talk to.
No, because they're all missing teeth, and they're all, you know, they got little stubby fingers that they've lost in the harvest or something.
You know, have you been to the bar?
No, I really haven't, but that's what most people in Kennewick are like. 90% of people in Kennewick have got sort of maiming physical deformities or some sort of gigantic mental defect. So.
Yes, so I'm hanging out at my mother's house, hoping I don't have to leave.
All right. Well,
and it's sad when calling a radio show in Portland is the highlight of my weekend.
Yeah, we'll check in with you again tomorrow to see how close you are to killing yourself.
Oh, I'll be close.
All right, there you go. There's Big Gay Sarah in Kennewick, and here's today's top five.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Today's top five, it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And these are the top five driving songs for 2002, according to Yahoo.com's Auto Division.
These are the top five songs to drive to for the year we are now ending, I guess, according to the good folks at the Auto Department of Yahoo.com.
Honorable mention, Avril Lavigne, Complicated.
I can see that. I can see driving to this. Kind of a laid-back sort of a groove. This is totally... Most of these are going to be summertime songs, probably. But this is totally one of those windows down, leaning back, one hand laying on top of the wheel right at 12 o'clock.
You come over unannounced, dressed up like you're something.
Come on, listen to that. What a great song that is. I'm unashamed, too. A lot of people smirk, or they, you know, they have contempt for Avril Lavigne because it's just so candy coated. But at base, you know, at the very root of it, this is just a great song. And she's legal too. She's 19 and a half.
Oh my!
It's just the icing on the cake for me.
But you're not a skater boy, so she's not going to date you.
I really, well, let me tell you this. Most women don't need that excuse not to look at me, okay? Most women, it's just him over there. Oh, no. No, I don't think so.
But he's got a radio show.
Yes. Yes, so does Lawhurst. So, you know, like women are all lined up to see him. I heard you got a plastic ass. Can I look at it? All right.
Number 5, Jimmy Eat World.
Oh,
in the middle.
Man. They don't make pop. It was on the top five for like 30 weeks in a row, but I never got tired of it. This is just such
I completely
a great song.
Agree. I usually burn songs out like that, and I love it
no,
still.
No, because this is absolute pure crystalline pop. I mean, this is genius. It's brilliant to the core. Listen to that. Listen how good that is. This is sort of like a Weezer. I don't know, it's like a Weezer meets the Ramones kind of a thing. It's got a faster tempo and a cleaner sound than the Weezer records, but it's got that Rivers Cuomo hook right there. And the video's got a bunch of chicks in their underwear.
Not just chicks, it's guys too. It's like they're having a party.
I don't know.
And everybody gets to the party and shed their clothes and
I kind of look around.
It's a lingerie party.
Yeah, dude.
Good idea for the next listener party.
Yeah. We'll do it at Sarah's house.
No thanks.
And then he's got this little that staccato right there. Is that little tinge of electronic sound in the background? This is every song should sound like this. This is
if every song sounded like this, you'd hate it.
That's not true. This is the sound and style that every pop song should have. This is just brilliant to the core. This is second this year for pop singles only. And prepare your snicker. Snicker imminent to Party Hard by Andrew W.K. in terms of pure pop perfection. This is, you know, it's right there, the neck and neck.
Number four is Sheryl Crow and Soak Up the Sun.
This one's better in my estimation.
What a great song this is. This is the road trip song of the year. There is no better song for the road trip. You're in the car, top down, sun blazing on your way to Vegas with your friends in like an Impala.
Old like 59 Caddy Eldorado with the top down.
Man. There is no better road trip song of the last 5 years than this. I mean, you can. This sounds like it ought to be in a Sunkist commercial. You know what I mean? You can practically hear Brian Wilson somewhere just nodding in approval. Approval of this. It's just. Beautiful stuff. And then she goes from like skeezy rock chick to sort of sun bunny. Great song.
Number three is Dirty Vegas, Days Go By.
I have never heard this song before in my life.
Oh, this is the one with the video in Vegas, and this guy goes out once a year and dances all day. It's kind of a cheesy video.
They play this in a pirate radio station a little bit.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. Is this in the record skipping?
No,
it sounds like this.
You've actually downloaded a remix. So
I don't download anything. That would be wrong and illegal.
The production crew downloaded a remix on accident.
Yeah.
So it's not actually the real song. It's just but it's a remix of
it. I don't even think I know the real song, though.
You probably would if you heard it.
That song's on a car commercial.
Yeah, it's on a Mitsubishi commercial.
I don't see commercials. I'm a TiVo.
It's the video where the guys like pull up to the corner and there's the guy dancing on the other side of the corner.
Oh, I know this song. Yeah, okay, I know this. I can hear the hook buried in there.
Number two is Eminem, Without Me.
You know, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I don't know if I could put together the top five pop songs of the year, but this would be in the top five. It's still behind the Jimmy Eat World, and it's behind Andrew W.K., but this might be number three. The only thing keeping this from being higher on the list is that it is such an obvious rewrite of The Real Slim Shady. Which is not to say it's not a bad, not a good song. It's a great song. But it is obviously a thinly veiled retread of The Real Slim Shady. Even the cadence is the same. When you get to the chorus, the meter's even the same.
I think a lot of his songs sound the same. I mean, I'm not judging him or saying he's not a good musical artist, but they really do sound a lot alike.
I mean, you know, his songs have a certain style, but this is just really blatant. This is really obviously a retread. I mean, this was... You can sort of see the man behind the curtain with this song, because obviously they said, look, we need a lead single. That's what this was designed to be. They went into the garage and built a single. I mean... No, I'm the Real Slim Shady. Please stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. I'm the Real Shady. Oh, it's totally got that same delivery. Cadence is the same on it.
Here's Nelly. It's hot in here.
This even sounds like a commercial. I mean, if this isn't a car commercial yet, it should be.
That'll be a Victoria's Secret commercial.
No, I mean, this really ought to be a commercial for, like, the Maxima or something. I could never drive to this.
This would have to be the top five pop songs of the year, though.
I'm just so glad it's not a heavy rotation anymore.
Yeah, this is something I can only listen to when there was no one around. Rolling up the windows.
I see you can kind of try to like jam to it a little.
Get your groove on. I obviously can't listen to this like openly. All right. Charlie's coming up with How Chicks Think. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
show. You know, here's a really awkward feeling. There's no more awkward feeling than this. When you go on to use the bathroom, this happened to me last night. I was just reminded of it just now because I had a simple... Men have all this weird bathroom etiquette, and there's all these problems that happen to men, but only in the bathroom. And I'm not talking about the prostate problems where you're sitting there for like half an hour going, come on, come on. I'm talking about these sort of incidents that happen to you in the bathroom that you then immediately understand you're never to talk about. And especially you're not, you know, you don't talk about them. You know, you and the other man don't ever talk about them. Like this one. Do you ever do this? You're walking in the bathroom door, you're running late, and maybe I'm the only one that does this. Because we walk in here, you walk in the door, you take a left, and there's the urinal. And so often I'm under the gun here, I'm running very short on time, and so I'm doing this. I'm walking in the door, and as I'm rounding the little wall, the divider, to go to the urinal, I'm already with the unzipping action, because, you know, I got to be, you know, you're dealing in milliseconds. You got to shave time off your bathroom experience. But every so often, you'll do this. You'll walk in the door, round the wall, you're already kind of with the unbuckling, and then there's like a dude there. And then it looks like you're just going in to expose yourself, and that's just a bad... That's a way to be arrested and shamed. But that's not what happened to me today. But that is, there's this whole, I can't say anymore without violating the dude night code of silence. And I don't know if anything like this ever happens to women. I don't know if women have these weird bathroom mishaps. But here's what happens to me last night. A really awkward feeling is, especially if it's a female janitor, is when you go in to take the big urination break, and it's like, there's the janitor near the toilet with the brush. And it happened to be a female janitor last night, which makes it doubly awkward, but that's not really why it's so awkward. It's like that you walk in, and first of all, I'm plagued with all this white guilt anyway, because here I am, you know, here's like this poor, you know, brown person, and they're like cleaning my urinal for me, and I'm like, you know, no, I'm the white man, I need to urinate, let me by. And so I feel badly about it anyway. But you go in, and there's only one of two possible scenarios that is happening. And it's one of two things. And they've got that little, you know, that yellow bucket that they push along on wheels that's got the guy on the side slipping, and it's this caution, you know, that bucket. It's got all the bathroom cleaning implements. So I go in to use the bathroom last night, and there's this woman, and she's got, like, the brush in her hand, and she's standing about a foot and a half from the urinal, not the toilet, now I'm talking about the stand-up urinal against the wall. And I don't know whether she's already cleaned the urinal or whether she's just about to, but either way, suddenly I feel like I can't use the bathroom, even if she leaves, because there's one of two things. Either she just cleaned it, in which case it's like, hey, you just cleaned that? Let me pee on it. You know, in which case you just feel, I'm glad you cleaned that, let me defile it now. Or, the other one that's worse is, hey, you're just about to clean that and put your hands in it? Hey, let me get some pee on it for you. That's just... I don't even know which one of those is worse. I don't even know which one is more embarrassing. But either way, I am inflicting urine on something that she either just cleaned or is about to put her hands in. And it just makes me feel...